We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Pony Express.
After seeing what we've seen in the preseason, I'm not too sure that it doesn't behoove Carly Lloyd's agent to contact the Jets about a field goal kicking job. I'm pretty sure that's one position that the Jets are going to be looking to fill or upgrade.
What do you think of that whole dust up there? Maybe allow her the opportunity.
I'm all for opportunity, and if she can earn the job, good. Anyone, male or female, if they are fit for the job and can do it as well or better than anybody else, they should have that opportunity to work. I am also a guy that's played the game. I know how violent it can be, and I really believe the male animal is bigger, stronger for the most part than the female, and I would not want to see a lady out on the field. But if she earns her way, I'll be pulling for her.
Always nice to hear Joe Willie Namath on a September weekend, as we are just 7 days away from NFL football. And we will talk about some of the biggest moves that got made in the NFL this weekend. Cut down day was yesterday. Trades were made. Teams will continue to make moves over the next few hours is now they can get going on the waiver wire. And that was Joe Namath on Fox Business Channel. One of the biggest stories in sports this week, Carly Lloyd. Radio.com sports home and home show. Her kicking coach said she had two solid offers from NFL teams to kick last Thursday in the exhibition season. Two offers from teams. And so that really got the ball rolling on a discussion about whether or not the NFL was the right place for a female kicker. Not only if she could do it, but should she be allowed to try? And that's what I want to talk about here to start this hour on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Pony Express, heard coast to coast on Sirius XM channel 206. The radio.com app, it's free. Go download that today and take CBS Sports Radio with you wherever you go. To get involved in the show, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. So Namath, tongue-in-cheek, says the Jets should look into Carly Lloyd, and then has an answer there where I think he gave, in a very succinct manner, the pros and cons of allowing Carly Lloyd to pursue an NFL career. The first part of that being, like, we don't want to tell people in this country in, like, modern times that their gender is restrictive. That the biological lottery, do you identify as a male or a female? That based on sex, certain doors are open and certain doors are closed. Like, progressively speaking, more and more societally, we are trying to do away with that. Equal pay, that kind of thing. And let's not make it so something you can't control, something that is a birth lottery situation where you're born with male body parts or female body parts, that we don't want that to be a defining trait that makes your career paths rigid or limited. That's America, that's the world, I guess, in 2019. So that's where, like, if you are an equality advocate, and I would consider myself one, generally speaking, That's what makes the Carly Lloyd discussion, I think, a complicated one and a difficult one. Because if I'm the father of a daughter, it might be a difficult, if I'm a father to a young woman, to a girl who's a sports fan and loves football, it might be a difficult conversation. I haven't had this conversation. I'm not a father yet. To tell a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or even a teenage girl that she can't play in the NFL. You can't play football. It's only for boys. But at the same time, as long as, and this is like where the conversation, I think, turns problematic for the Carly Lloyd should be allowed to play in the NFL advocates. The violent nature, the physical nature that Joe Namath talked about in that clip, the violent nature of professional football, football played at the highest level, I believe inherently makes it prohibitive, makes it feel societally like we can't have women play it. And so Carly Lloyd could turn out to be the greatest kicker. She might be Adam Vinatieri. We just don't know it. She might spend every waking hour training to kick a ball through the uprights over the next year. And I still don't think she should play. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that flippantly. I don't say that to create a reaction. From my own personal vantage point, this is what I cannot reconcile. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. I would not be able to reconcile this. You are trained. If you have good parenting, if you have good mentor figures, if you are brought into this world and you are shepherded by people with good ethics, good morals, scruples, high beliefs, strong beliefs, honorable people. The idea of hitting a woman, if you're a male, even if it's, you know, condoned because that's the way the game is played or the sport is played, is something you are told repeatedly to never do. And so just because we had shoulder pads and a helmet on and, you know, it was between the white lines and it was a football game, I can only speak for myself. I could not tackle a woman. I don't care if she's 5'5", 120 pounds, or 5'9", 190 pounds, or 200 pounds. It would make no difference to me. Because you are trained, you are wired, you are told that that just is unacceptable to do something like that. And I would not, from a liability standpoint, from a moral standpoint, I would not want to put any football player in that situation. That's why when the Carly Lloyd debate, from what I've seen of it, one of the most, I think, intellectually dishonest things about this discussion is when Lloyd advocates to play in the NFL, to kick in the NFL, have said, well, why aren't we worried about the well-being of, and then they'll name a kicker who was like 5'7" and less than 100 pounds, less than 200 pounds. Like, if it was okay for the Gramatica brothers to kick in the NFL, how is that any different from allowing Carly Lloyd to kick in the NFL? It's pretty easy for me. A violent exchange or any kind of physical conflict or contact with another guy, even though it might be picking on someone smaller than you or bullying is, I guess, I don't want to use that word. Picking on someone smaller than you, that is something, like in sports, I've never... had that mental calculus before. I've never done that equation in my head. I'm not like the biggest guy. I've never had somebody who was much bigger and larger than me on a field or on ice or on a court, like have some kind of moment where they either took pity on me or thought twice of hitting me. But I wouldn't criticize or blame any male athlete who would think about that, who would think twice of tackling, of blowing up, of hitting a woman in either a football game or a hockey game or any sport that involves physical contact between male and woman. Like, and one of the things that, too, gets said about this is, well, the types of plays you're describing here, if she's a kicker, like a kickoff return or a blocked field goal or a faked field goal, these are things that don't happen all that often. And that's true. But unless those types of plays are outlawed, unless kickoffs are completely done away with, or red shirts, non-contact jerseys, are put on specialists like kickers and punters, until that happens, there is always going to be the chance. Athletes at that position are always going to be taking the risk they can get badly injured on a play, in a given moment. So I think it's going to be really hard for a 37-year-old, whether it's someone that's trained to play soccer or not, I think it's hard for somebody in the twilight or late stages of their career to pick up something and become elite at it in short order. Now, one of the other examples I wanted to use here in this conversation is Gil Brandt, who just went in the Hall of Fame last month as an architect of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was asked on Twitter about this. And he said of Carly Lloyd, she has two things that most people in this world don't. Can kick from distance with accuracy, has performed in the clutch in front of large crowds. I'd have no problem bringing her in for a tryout. The second part of that is absolutely true. She's won World Cups, gold medals. She's one of the most accomplished soccer players, regardless of gender, in our country's history. So the bright lights of a game, she's played in much bigger games. So that, to me, is accurate. Like, the fact that she would not, from a mental standpoint, be overwhelmed by kicking a ball 47 yards to win a game, I would agree with that. The first part of the statement, she can kick with distance and accuracy, we don't know that yet. We know she can kick a soccer ball that way. Other than a viral video of her kicking a field goal, not in street clothes, but not in a traditional football situation, at the end of a training camp practice, that to me is by no means an indication that she can kick from distance with accuracy. Because the NFL kickers who have failed in places like Chicago, Minnesota, Blair Walsh, Scott Norwood, those guys have all proven that they can kick from distance with accuracy. In practice, in training camp, in the preseason. So I'm against Carly Lloyd kicking in the NFL. And I know, obviously, when I say that, it's a polarizing enough statement where it's going to offend probably 50% of people, and it's going to be a sentence of agreement for another 50% of the sports fan population. It is another one of these dividing line conversations. And I don't make this point, again, to just put my cards on the table. I don't say this as somebody who believes he's ignorant or close-minded about like the current situation when it comes with females or women in the workforce. But I just don't see how a league that has a domestic violence problem, you know, could reconcile a woman getting on a football field. And because it's within the rules of football, allowing for highly trained, much bigger professional athletes, at least allowing for the possibility that she could get tackled and could get hit. I know I would not want to watch that or see that. I'm with Namath on that. I don't want to see Carly Lloyd put in a situation where she might get blown up. I don't want to see a Sean Taylor, Sean Mormon situation from the Pro Bowl 15 years ago. And if she plays football, she runs that risk. Unless you change the rules to accommodate her, and I don't think that that's right either. But Namath says she should be given that chance. And Gil Brandt says the same thing. Those are two Hall of Famers who are putting their name on it. And I want to know where you come down on things. Do you want to see Carly Lloyd get a shot at kicking in the NFL? Should she be allowed to play? Should her gender restrict her from playing NFL football, from trying? I mean, she's not going to just get, no one's going to give her something. She's got to go earn it. But should she be given the opportunity to earn it is really the question. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. I want to get your thoughts on that. Something that happened in college football yesterday that in the 150 years of college football has never happened before, and something that should never happen again. We will discuss that coming up. I do want your thoughts on Carly Lloyd, though, right now at 855-212-4227. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
And the toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Joe Namath makes a joke on Fox News Channel, says, I'm not sure it wouldn't behoove the Jets to kick the tires on Carly Lloyd. Says if she's good enough, she should be allowed to kick in the NFL. Gil Brandt, who runs the Cowboys, says on Twitter that he would have no problem bringing Carly Lloyd in for a tryout. My own personal opinion on it is this. I don't like to make the habit of putting a ceiling or putting up walls on what people can do or achieve based on their gender. I know personally that's not something I would want to promote. If I had a daughter, I wouldn't want to tell her, well, no, sorry, you can't do that. I would like to think in my lifetime we will see a female president if she is qualified, if she has the credentials to run this country. But when it comes to professions that have a violent side to them, that's where I draw the line. I would not want to see a woman get in the ring, box with a Golovkin, let's say, or a Pacquiao. I would not want to see a woman get into the octagon with Bones Jones or Brock Lesnar. Or even at the lighter weight classes of mixed martial arts. And both of those are hand-to-hand combat sports, boxing and MMA. But I wasn't born yesterday. Like, I'm not somebody that's aloof to what's going on in the NFL. There's a reason why Roger Goodell has been on a crusade to make the game safer, and it's because of the consequences and effects and the way that football breaks down the human body. Even the most well-conditioned athletes on this earth, 5 years after their playing days are over, some of them can barely move. Some of them can barely think. And so I just don't want Carly Lloyd entering into that. And so I want to get your thoughts on it today. Maybe you disagree with me. If you do, tell me why. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Let's start with James in South Carolina on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, James.
Hey, James. Hey, Andrew. I kind of agree with you because I had two instances. I'm 51 years old. One was we had a tomboy girl in the neighborhood that wanted to play football with us guys. And the first time she came through the line, I said, hey, this is a girl. And I treated her as such, and she lifted up her knee and almost put her cleat right in my face. So the second time I said, okay, now I'm going to treat her like a guy, and I planted her, and I thought her brother was going to kill me. And then the second –
thanks. I'm going to stop you right there. I mean, that's, you know, I guess someone's anecdotal backyard football experience. I know I saw a high school hockey game where the high school – two boys teams, there was a very talented girl who was on one of the boys teams because the school did not have a girls hockey program. And she was she could move the puck. She could you know, fundamentally make the right calls and read the ice and read the game very well. And, you know, good enough to play Division I women's hockey. So somebody, though, that had to play with the boys because there wasn't an alternative. And I was at a game once where she got absolutely blown up. Went into the corner to dig out a puck and got just crushed. And there was almost a riot in the stands. And to be honest with you, I felt the person I felt the worst for was the boy who made the hit. Because it wasn't a penalty, it wasn't dirty, it was legal. And he was just doing what he was supposed to do. But because of who he hit and what happened after the play, she was injured. People went bananas. And I don't, like, if Carly Lloyd played, and I know the chances of this happening, her making it to the NFL, A, and then kicking in the NFL, and there being a situation where she doesn't just run off the field after kicking the ball off, or there's a fake field goal, or whatever, and she's actively involved in the play, maybe the odds of her getting destroyed are not that high, but they're more than zero. If an NFL linebacker laid her out, and it wasn't dirty, and it wasn't a penalty, and she was badly injured, what would the reaction to that be? Would it just be this is what she signed up for? Because I think rightfully so, the reaction would be the NFL has blood on its hands. How do they allow for this to happen? And here's another question I have off of this. Are we only saying because of the job description, because it's kicking a football and it's not being involved in the ugliness of football, that, like, are we doing this a la carte? Are we taking it on a case-by-case basis? Are we saying that it's okay for Carly Lloyd to kick, but if there was a woman who was talented enough and skilled enough to play wide receiver, would people be okay with that? How about linebacker? How about offensive line? Nick Mangold's sister was a great high school football player. She played in the trenches, which, again, for the life of me, puts the boy who was lined up against her, I think, in a lose-lose situation. If she pancakes him and beats him up the entire game, it's how, you know, it's stigmatized. How can you let a girl do that to you? And then if the nose tackle, like, blows her up, it's, well, you did it to a girl, so it doesn't really count as much. So it's so tricky. You know, it feels in some ways black and white to me, but I know that that's not true for everyone. Carly Lloyd, this morning, we've got a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame GM saying she should be given a chance to play in the NFL. Here's Matt in Florida on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. I think there's, you know, an inevitability to this subject. I think sooner or later there will be a woman doing something in the NFL on the field. I think, you know, Carly, if she gets the opportunity, she has to be aware of that. She has to also be aware that she's responsible for this decision herself. But I want to throw something else in here. You know, there are probably tens of thousands of women every day across this country that put on uniforms and act as first responders and carry guns and shoot bad guys. You know, and they stand far more to risk than a football player.
Sure.
So I wonder if we're being selective because it's a brutal spectator sport, but we're allowing women to save their lives at the risk of their own.
You don't see a difference between those two things?
Oh, like people... I absolutely do. But I'm just saying one is absolutely more dangerous than the other.
Right, but it's not like if I'm a police officer, if I'm a female cop, how much of my job description is the physical side of that job? Am I paid to beat people up?
The point is the same for a woman as it is for a man.
Okay. Matt, I'm just thinking, like, based off of what you just said there, like, should we be more open-minded to female boxers, women fighting men? How about women getting into the MMA cage?
I don't know that's an inevitability, but I do know, you know, I don't know, but I believe in my heart that the current climate of thought in this country will lead eventually to a woman playing in the NFL.
Okay, that prediction is one thing. I'm more interested in how you feel personally about seeing a woman on a football field and the possibility that she takes a huge hit from a large NFL player.
No distinction between that and then taking a large bullet from a gun.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, if that's the logic, if you can go defend our country and defend our freedom, you can patrol the streets of an inner city, and there's no rule that says a woman can't do that. If that's how you reconcile, again, an injury, somebody, you know, in the line of fire, protecting our freedoms versus doing it for our own entertainment are two vastly different things. And I would think most people would be able to see the difference between those two thoughts. 855-212-4CBS. Joe Namath and Gil Brandt, two Hall of Famers, say, give Carly Lloyd a chance to kick in the NFL. Do you agree with that? 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. At CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Something we saw in college football last night for the first time in 150 years. I hope we never see it again. I'll tell you what that was. Get your thoughts on that. Plus, obviously, this Carly Lloyd debate that is ongoing. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
They can't call most of the third downs because, you know, he's been out there and, you know, worked with those third down plans. You know, and then defensively, I would tell Scott from time to time what I saw them trying to do on third downs. And, you know, that's what I did up here tonight. And it felt different. It's odd that I'm not down there talking to officials and calling timeouts when we need to. And maybe I had a hard time kind of finding the clocks, too, you know, from here. I didn't have a game clock here that I could look at. It was kind of hard to see it over there. So it was a little different. I don't like it near as well as being down there eye to eye with our players. And hopefully I'll be back down there very, very soon.
And that was Hugh Freeze last seen before last night, getting kicked to the curb by Ole Miss for violating the morals clause in his contract. Somebody who was calling escorts from his university cell phone. That's a no-no. That was enough for Freeze, along with some violations, NCAA violations. You might recall Laramie Tunsil, who we've already talked about on today's show, the ex-Ole Miss left tackle. On draft night, it was exposed that there were payments made to him. Ole Miss put on probation. And Hugh Freeze shown the door. Landed on his feet at Liberty, of all places, which is one of the most conservatively Christian religious universities in all of America. And this is where he has found a home. Making his debut last night in Liberty's 24-0 loss to number 22 Syracuse, Freeze, who had back surgery for a herniated disc in his back during summer training camp, doctors discovered that he had a serious staph infection. So this was not anything to trivialize or laugh at. Not too long ago, it sounds like Hugh Freeze might have been in a life or death situation. He has recovered from that, but he has not fully recovered enough to resume his duties as, like, full time, I'll take on all the responsibilities, put everything on my plate as head coach. But Hugh Freeze didn't want to miss last night's game, his debut, The first time a top 25 team and a Power 5 team visited Liberty. So what they did for him was put a hospital bed in a room, equipped Freeze with a headset, gave him a couple of monitors, and he coached the game from a hospital bed. And you heard in that clip there, he left third down calls to an assistant on the field. He said that he couldn't really see the clock, which is like a fundamental part of being a coach. Clock management. Couldn't see that. Admitted that it was harder to do his job on game day because he had no interaction with officials. Says in an ESPN article that Freeze arrived at the stadium in a wheelchair a little more than an hour before kickoff. How do you let Hugh Freeze coach that game? I don't think it's fair to his players. I don't think it's fair to the team. I don't think it's fair to anybody. Like, we've really gotten to the point, I guess we have, where college sports are such a cutthroat business, where there is such a win or else mentality that is prevalent in the game. I guess that whole thinking is how Hugh Freeze gets a second chance at Liberty of all places. We've really sunk into the point where a coach can't miss a game because there were serious complications from back surgery that could have ended his life. There really isn't enough trust or belief in the assistant coaches beneath him that for at least one Saturday, a high-ranking assistant can't be trusted with the responsibilities and duties of a head coach. It created one of the most surreal, bizarre visuals in the history of college football where they did a halftime interview. ESPN sent a reporter up to Freeze's spot in the press box with the ESPN mic flag interviewing a coach in a hospital bed. It looked like something Saturday Night Live would do a spoof on or The Onion would do an article on. And I think it gets to the heart of like misplaced priorities and the whole idea that college sports are anything more than about the money in wins and losses, that the other virtues or qualities or things that some college administrators and NCAA administrators and even coaches will sometimes cite as reasons why college sports are so important. Like, life molding, taking boys and making them into men, being father figures and shepherds for kids while they're in college, that there are so many benefits besides winning and losing games that are part and parcel with the college football experience. It is an episode like this that reaffirms to me that it is purely about the money and about wins and losses when a coach that is one of those decisions where the athletic director or some high-ranking official, the school president, should say, Hugh, we are not putting a hospital bed in a coach's box for a game. We are not going to be a punchline where after the game, you are on camera in your hospital bed with a monitor in the press conference room and reporters are asking you questions while you are laid up in a hospital bed. If a player showed up to a game an hour before kickoff, would he be allowed to play? Unlikely. When a coach shows up because of a horrible surgery and recovery process that is taking a long time and is like putting that coach in serious harm's way, when a coach shows up an hour before kickoff and can't be on the sideline, I don't understand how that person is deemed fit to coach the game. It created one of the weirdest, most bizarre visuals in the history of college football. There's nothing in this story that says whether or not he'll be allowed to coach from the hospital bed again next week. Let's see if Liberty plays another home game, because I can't imagine that he would get the same accommodations if Liberty is forced to go on the road next week. Let's see here. Liberty's next game is at Louisiana Lafayette. Yeah, I can't imagine that Freeze is going to be able to coach that game. How does he travel in the hospital bed? Get on a plane? Does he make a 10-hour bus trip like that? No way. So that was insane. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next hour, one of the things we'll talk about is the narrative that's out there today on the SEC's opening weekend, the highs and lows for the SEC and the conclusions that are being drawn and the analysis that's getting made on the debut of the biggest, baddest conference in college football, the SEC, how their teams performed and whether or not it's still an open and shut case that the SEC is the best conference in college football. Jason is in Mississippi, has a thought on Carly Lloyd. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, so as far as the young lady getting a chance to play in the NFL, these are my thoughts on it. You know, I've had an opportunity to, you know, to study, to work, to, you know, to even serve beside amazing women. And me, on the other side of young lady that's lined up in front of me, I feel as though she's an athlete, so I'm going to give her that same respect. You know, I'm not going to shortstop her. I'm not going to treat her any differently. Because at the end of the day, I know that she's going to come with it, so I'm going to do the same thing and come with it as well. You know, because like I said, that's just the name of the game, and that's how it goes. You know,
so you don't. So if you knocked her out, if you put a big hit on her and she was badly injured, you wouldn't question yourself after the fact at all?
No, I would not. You know, like,
okay, fair enough. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of former players and current players who feel that same way. I know that I, as a viewer, as a fan, would not want to see her put in that situation. I think the odds are stacked against her as a kicker just because she's getting such a late start on things. We are dealing with a world-class athlete, though, who has accomplished great things in her sport. If Tim Tebow can make himself from a college quarterback into a Triple-A baseball player after not playing baseball for like almost 10 years, I think Carly Lloyd might be a good kicker. I'm not completely ruling it out, but football is such a violent, dangerous game that I don't think I'd want to watch her play it. Get into that SEC conversation next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.